Hello, everyone. Welcome to a special edition of the Kaiju Kingdom podcast. We are your hosts,
Jessica.
And I am Chris Eaton. And I didn't have the soundbite ready, but as Kyle used to play on the Kaiju Cast, run that. This is a special news bulletin. This is a special report from Monster Zero. Jessica, this is, yes, as a last second episode as ever that we've ever done, this would be for this would cap it off because history has been made.
Yes.
To quote Captain Holt, for us in this fandom, vindication. Less than Very 4 true. Hours ago, as we were recording this, the Academy Awards, I think it's the 92nd Academy Awards, wrapped up. Big night from my friend who watched the show live. I was doing other things. Well, Jessica and I, unfortunately, were not home, but we were following along online. But my buddy just kept sending me text after text and literally called me, held up the phone to the screen, and showed me Arnold Schwarzenegger, of all people, reading off, and the Oscar goes to Godzilla. And I lost my mind. I was in the passenger side of my buddy's car, screaming out the window. This is a glorious day. Jessica, did you, in your wildest dreams, ever see the day that Godzilla, any sort of Godzilla thing, would win an Oscar?
You know, when I was younger, I did believe that it could win for some sort of effects, but maybe CGI.
Mm-hmm.
Like as the years in technology progressed and we have the Japanese films and we have the American films. However, it actually win is one, because like in your mind it's won or should be nominated, but seeing it actually winning mm-hmm. was really, really historic. I know we are actually very enthusiastic for those who are watching live. It's just that it's past midnight. And it's Chris was at a Transformers con, which was like almost sold out. He said he barely got in. And today is actually my mother's birthday. So I was with my mommy all day and I had driven like 45 miles to see an Asian comics exhibit and came back and everything. So we're all exhausted. But this did give us a second, if not third win, like wind. We were alive. Yes. Very confident and said that they definitely saw this day coming, and I think they're not wrong, but also a part of us respect the Academy Awards very much, but we also understand how certain things are seen or optically, so like I knew it could win, so like I but thought another strong they were all strong contenders
I would say I
in the category
I was- Yes, but I would say that its major competition over anything else.
It is. Was it is. The creator. Yes, I was going to say was the creator.
Yeah.
The reason why I think this one did win is more than anything, regardless of whether you saw any flaws in the visual effects, I don't know if people did. They had a very tight team of people working on the budget that they're working with. And was able to do this. So I feel like that on its own is award worthy. Because
and that's
why it's difficult to do for the product that they were given.
100%. Absolutely. Like, well, so less than a month ago, about 3 weeks ago, it was about coming close to a month, we saw the nominations. We saw that joyous video of the Yamazaki and his team.
Yeah.
At like 9:30 at night from their office as the Oscars are being read live. By the way, for those who don't know, they read them live here in LA, but they do it at like 5 in the morning. It's the most bonkers, like, actual. It's a ceremony before the ceremony. Like, everyone dresses up for this thing.
Yes. Yes, yes.
You got to be at like the Kodak Center at like 3:30 in the morning on a Monday, press are there all because New York needs to get it by 8 o'clock to them. But yes, I've talked to people who have actually worked this thing, and they're like, you are like, everyone there is got one bloodshot eye open because they're like, this is too early to be this dressed up, to be doing any of this stuff. Everyone is just jonesing on coffee and nicotine and whatever else will stimulate them.
Yeah.
But watching that video last month, you're like, this movie, this is the Rudy of Godzilla movies. It's the little movie that could. It never said no. It never died. It went from supposed to be 1 week, 1 week in the theater to 2 full months, making over $100 million worldwide. That is absolutely, and that's goddamn insane. That in no world should exist, especially considering that this is, by all accounts, if you were to tell someone like a Godzilla movie that doesn't have Godzilla fighting any other monsters, that actually focuses on the humans and they are the main focus on the movie, most fans are like, that's not gonna. But no. Like after that last showing, I got to attend a screening with Yamazaki in person. Got to listen to him talk. Got to meet the gentleman. He's the nicest guy in the world. But looking at it, like, as I turned to my buddy who came along with me, I'm like, you know what? I don't have to ever wonder what Steven Spielberg would do with a Godzilla movie because Yamazaki already did it. This movie, the more I watch it, the more I start seeing these nuances and just the...
Yeah.
It is classic storytelling, but it's done so damn well. And there's been the talk ever since this got nominated that, you know, there's been all these like hot click articles of like what Hollywood could learn from Godzilla Minus One. What it could learn is just, you know what? Sometimes all you have to do is write a damn good story. It doesn't even have to be original.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be. Like, it's a matter. Anyone can, to quote Ratatouille, anyone can cook, right?
Yeah. Or anyone something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. But it is how you work with the ingredients. Like I can make a pizza, but I know there's a guy somewhere in Chicago that can make a damn good pizza. And that is the key. We both can make pizzas, but he can make a great pizza because he studied the art of making pizza. And that is what Yamazaki has done. Took a Godzilla movie, made you care about these characters more than anything, to the point that, like, when they finally defeat Godzilla, you're actually like, my God, they did it. They actually did it. Yeah. Like, I never thought I would see the day where it's like, I truly can't. Like, he made a melodrama that happened to have a giant monster in it, which is insane.
Yes.
That is part of the lessons that they should learn, but unfortunately, knowing the Hollywood I know, they're going to look at it as like, okay, well, maybe we can just crank a budget down and like really ramp up. It's like, no, you're not learning the lesson. What, before we go on, to quote the great Roger Ebert, on his commentary track on a little movie called Dark City, a movie I love to death, Alex Proyas, if you've never seen it, go see it. It's one of Kiefer Sutherland's finest performances. But in this movie, Alex Proyas uses both a combination of miniatures and CG to create this ever-shifting world. And Roger Ebert, at one point, he's talking about this. He's like, here's where Alex Proyas truly, he's the one director right now. This is 1998. He's like, this is the one director that truly understands how to properly use special effects. He has miniatures, and he doesn't use CG just blatantly. He uses it to where you cannot get these shots in practical forms, and only uses them sparingly to show what he's trying, you know, to show the images that he's trying to convey.
Right.
And at no point does it ever overstate its welcome. That's exactly what Yamazaki did with this movie. And that is why it got nominated for an Academy Award. The fact that it was a little underdog story, like the little team that could, that was just the icing on the cake.
Yes.
Okay. So for the actual awards, Jessica, you saw the presentation, did you not?
I did. I did. You know, the moment they had the theme and they were up there and they were excited from like the moment they got to the seat and were walking up and their amazing shoes. I was definitely tearing up listening to Yamazaki like take out his piece of paper and read it, and I was tearing up. Everything is great. And you were actually talking about the underdog type of situation, the little team that could, as he's thanking American films, not thanking, but saying, you know, ever since I saw them in Hollywood, he's speaking, he's trying to pay respect and thank you to one of their great team members that unfortunately had passed away.
That would be
Clearly,
Shuji Abe, by the way.
yes. And really respected the fact he read his entire speech in English, not because it is language in the world or anything. Every language is beautiful and amazing, but the fact that he knew he was at a one of the most prestigious American, you know, internationally but American shot based award show. They could have had a translator. He practiced. He could have said the whole thing in Japanese, but he tried so hard in English, and he's getting to a very pivotal end. And the message that comes with it, they started playing off the stage music. And I was a little bit kind of heartbroken from that and a little bit like disappointed because I understand that there's a timing issue, but there's also should be a human component to it because you know that he's reading so much slower because English is not his first language and he was clearly overwhelmed. You know, I mean, English, I was born here, so I'm not saying I'm trying to be like biased because you know, English is not my parents' first language and they learned it. But this is for everybody, kind of just around the world that's learning. You know, you go there. If I were to win an award in another country and try to speak in their language, I wouldn't want to feel like you know, like that uncomfortable or unwelcome feeling. However, what I really liked was the fact that very calmly, no anger, just kept reading and finished, and they zoomed it. I mean, bless the people taking the zoom in video of Abe-san, almost as like a, I know the music because those are, I don't know if they're run by two separate groups. I don't know if the playoff, I believe, yeah, the playoff music and the people that are zooming in, but I felt like that person was the hero MVP of the night that showed, look, almost like one last little. I know you try to play him off, but he's actually trying to thank a person that unfortunately passed away. And I wish I just couple more seconds, just a couple more seconds would have helped. I'm a little
100%.
bit like, oh, ooh.
100%. Look, if you've listened to the show, you know that I have a deep, fond love for the art of cinema. The Oscars used to be my thing every year for a long time. I haven't really watched them too much in the last few years, mostly just because the offerings really weren't like, I mean, every time, there's the term Oscar bait movie, and then there's been a lot of great movies that just get overlooked, and it's not like a popularity thing. It's like, guys, just kind of pull the snob, out of your butt for 2 minutes and realize that cinema is cinema. Like, you can have a great movie. The 10 nomination thing bothers me still. I'm like, keep it to the five, but not all five need to be these art house films every year that are just boring and depressing. Like, movies can be fun. Like, and we can understand, like, there was a day, like the 90s. I look forward to it every year. The 90s, you look at the 90s winners, it is a murderer's row of fantastic movies. You look at the 2010s, and you're like, no one's going back to watch just about any of these because they got a little snobbish. The fact that they started playing people off, like in the lower categories a few years ago, really irked me. And last year, when Kiwi Kwan won, there was a part of me that went like, you give him all the time in the world because we all love this guy. He's again, talk about a great comeback story. That guy is the comeback story. And he got his chance. Like, there was a moment I'm like, if you start playing that damn, music, I will personally come down there and burn this place to the ground because how dare you? But it's that element of like some of these people, yes, give them their moment. If they start rattling on about something that's not even related to the thing that they did, then by all means, cut them off. But especially the lower category people, and I say lower, like the technical category people, they get screwed every year. There's been a couple of years where I was watching, I'm like, they went up. One guy, there's like three guys or three people that work for like costuming. They're each getting an award, and they all get like two seconds, and they're like, "All right, move on." I'm like, "Look, the show runs 4.5 hours as it is anyway. It's never done on time. They always throw in a 3-hour show. Never happens because you always go back and do the thing that everyone hates is that you give the big names all the time in the world." I don't need to hear Amy Adams telling me how her daughter is her real hero because we know it's like you're just trying to score brownie points. Like you were a great performer. Like just thank your agent, thank your lawyer, thank your husband, and thank the director, and then move on to the next thing. Like we don't need to hear your life story because I want the costume people. I want all the people who don't get the screen time. Give them a little more because then if you really want to highlight the appreciation for these things, because you're giving these people an award, give them 2 damn minutes maximum. Like they can go short or long, but you give them that 2 minutes and then, yeah, move on. And if you can tell clearly someone is struggling with something, just eye it a little bit. Just let it simmer for, just let it slide for a few more minutes, because I'm pretty sure whoever's
Yeah.
going to, talk for their,
Yeah.
best director, best picture winner is not, they're just going to say a bunch of mumbling BS anyway. So these are always the people that have the heartfelt things to say. Okay. They won. Arnold Schwarzenegger, again, I cannot reiterate how surreal that was. Watching this man who I grew up nearly idolizing. I love Arnold Schwarzenegger to death. And Danny DeVito, who I love Danny DeVito.
Yeah,
I
Danny
absolutely love.
DeVito.
Yeah, I love Danny DeVito as a director more than I love him as an actor, by the way. But watching those two, like, read off Godzilla Wing and then handing, like, Schwarzenegger, I
Yes.
think, handed Yamazaki his Oscar. And you can kind of see Yamazaki, like, oh my God, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like,
Yeah.
I'm, this is Hollywood. Hollywood royalty right here. Like the man is a giant nerd. I listened to him talk about meeting Spielberg and just watching this 60-year-old man like light up like, oh my God, I met Spielberg. Like he was like a little kid. The acceptance speech was great. Unfortunately, none of the other people who won the award got to really say anything. So real quick, I want to list off who the other winners were. So it was Yamazaki who, by the way, becomes the first director since Stanley Kubrick to win, who to be a director to also win for the visual effects award, meaning that they directed both the film and the visual effects in the movie. Kubrick won for 2001, I believe.
One, two, th yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yes, I believe it's 2001 because everything was like practical, and he's just like, no, I'll do it. The other people were Kyoko Shibuya, Masaki Takahashi, and Tatsuji Nojima. I'm hoping I didn't butcher those names, but they were the other recipients of the Oscar, because the Oscars only allow 4 people to be named to receive that's the max statues that they give out. I found that up from listening to Kevin Smith's producer, because you can have like 8 producers on a project, but they got to pick 4 because they're the only ones going to, that's how many statues they're going to make, and you guys figure out how to split them. So those 4 won for their entire visual effect. I think it's all 32 people on that team. It's a very small team. The audience did erupt over it. They were. That watching, going back and watching again, the audience, that was probably the biggest pop of the night. The fact it's like, yes, this is a feel-good story, and they are being rewarded for their valiant effort, for legitimately great work. I said it in our review. I will hold the effects in Godzilla Minus One to any big budget Hollywood movie. And in fact, at the point that they had the audacity to nominate, what is it, Napoleon for Best Special Effects? Tells me how little these people care. But the right team won tonight. The right team won.
Yeah.
They won. Did you see the red carpet walk-ups?
Yes. Was it their shoes?
Their shoes and what they were carrying.
Golden Godzillas.
Yes. And did you see what was on Yamazaki's Godzilla?
Was a little bow tie?
It was a little bow tie.
It was so cute. And he had to hand it to the person next to him to get the paper out to read it.
Yes.
Oh.
And then later in the evening, I believe it was Tetsuji Nojima was back at his seat. He had his Banpresto Godzilla Minus One figure and had him holding the Oscar. So there's a picture of like Godzilla wrapped around this Oscar. It's awesome. I'll include, if you watch in the YouTube version, I'll have all these little snippets here and there on it. But yes, like they just announced Godzilla Minus One for home video release in Japan on May 1st. And the special feature that you can buy with the package is a gold Godzilla Minus One. But it looks like Bandai didn't have one of those ready. So Yamazaki pretty much just spray painted a gold one, and it paid off. It paid off in spades. And by the way, you got to remember, less than 72 hours ago, all these people were in Japan accepting the Japanese Academy Award, because they not only won for like best, they won for like best picture, I think best effects and best. They won like seven awards.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
these people have been globetrotting.
Yeah.
Yamazaki's been out here, and to be fair, he's been. They campaigned pretty well, but I think it was the fact that like Spielberg himself endorsed this damn movie. He's like, no, this is good. This is what needs to be done. There was a point where I'm like, after looking at the creator, I'm like, the creator does have a good. Strong chance and a good argument to win. That movie only costs $80 million, and it's ironically by another Godzilla director, Gareth Edwards, who ironically also oversaw the effects. So these two had like a competing tale of like low budget big effects, but Minus One is the happier story. Nothing against Gareth Edwards. I love Gareth Edwards, and if he can pull that off with the creator, I guarantee he'll at least win a visual effects awards. Not far down the road. So, but Jessica, you do realize this. It is the 70th anniversary of Godzilla. Not only do we have one movie out, there's another one coming out in 3 more weeks.
Yes,
that I can't
it
wait.
Is.
Godzilla won an Oscar on his 70th birthday in the Year of the Dragon.
His closest counterpart in the Zodiac series.
It feels like, yes, the stars finally aligned on this one. And I would argue the world is a better place. For me, like I said, Yamazaki won. Hayao Miyazaki won his second Oscar. One of my favorite directors in the world finally won his first Oscar. Wes Anderson finally got one for his short film, The Henry Sugar story, which it's on Netflix. It's like 40 minutes long. It's based on a Roald Dahl story. Visually stupendous. And then ironically, in the same theme, Oppenheimer pretty much won everything else. Robert Downey Jr. is now an Oscar winner. About damn time. As my friend George and I were talking, I'm like, he's like, you know what? These kids, they only know Robert Downey Jr. from Iron Man. They weren't there with us for Chaplin. They weren't there for us for St. Elmo's Fire. They didn't watch Air America. Like, they didn't see that Robert Downey Jr. And so they're surprised when Robert Downey Jr. does, like, a dramatic – it's like, this is what this man was initially. He was a powerhouse, and he was just his own worst enemy. Otherwise, he would have had an Oscar 30 years ago already. So, kudos to him. Cillian Murphy is now an Oscar winner, which I think is long overdue. Christopher damn Nolan now has an Oscar. And Steven Spielberg gave it to him, which was, as someone said on Twitter, this is every seventh grade high school film nerd's dream come true. Like watching Spielberg and Nolan like hand off like at the biggest award ceremony of the year. And then Oppenheimer took Best Picture. Well deserved. And then my girl Emma Stone. She won for, what was it?
Poor Things.
It's the
Poor Things,
yes. Which I still haven't watched. But I love Emma Stone to death, and she can play, as Kevin Smith said, she can play the Jawsman Shark, and I will watch it. I adore Emma Stone. So she now has two Oscars, which I'm very happy. This was a good night. This was a great night. Like last year when Everything Everywhere at Once swept the damn Academy Awards, watching Kiwi Kwan, watching Michelle Yeoh finally win an Oscar. Like, I don't get emotional things, but Kiwi Kwan and Michelle Yeoh, like, winning, I'm like, especially as a martial arts fan, watching Michelle Yeoh, I'm like, this is magical. Like, you're watching this one who pretty much beat everyone's ass from the 80s and 90s, and she's getting her award for a magical movie.
Yes.
And then watching Harrison Ford give, you know, open the envelope and announce it, and then he and Kiwi Kwan just, like, hugging on stage. That was great. I didn't think that could be topped. It got topped this year for me because this is all magical.
Yeah. I definitely think for Godzilla. I also feel like when a film is also so well-loved and received at other awards shows around the world, like Everything Everywhere All at Once also swept all the other awards. Like you said, Godzilla Minus One won the Japanese Film of the Year, like their Academy Awards. There's definitely something to be said about it. And it was no surprise that it won. Also, we don't want it to make an embarrassment of the Academy Award. You know, people in charge, if it didn't. I'm not saying it didn't deserve it. It definitely did. But also, you know, it's like if the rest of the world freaking loved it and the Academy Awards didn't like it, there's going
there
to
would
be
have been,
some discussion.
Yeah. Well, look, this is the same people that did not nominate Val Kilmer for Tombstone, which I still can't fathom to this day, and Crash that won in 2007. We still question why that movie won. But that being said, you know, every year there's always strong contenders. I'm like, this movie could have won, this movie could have won. Like we mentioned earlier, Creator could have easily won, but Minus One, you get, because that's the thing I kept telling people.
Yeah.
I told people who were in Japan, I'm like, this is how they don't just look at the merit of the work. What is the story? Because Hollywood can't help but to be Hollywood, and they always want the good story in there. So if they know it'll be like a good story, they will most likely vote for that just for the idea. That's what campaigning is kind of about. So. And this was, they love a good underdog story. It's a foreign production. And you know what? It's a foreign movie that you never in a million years would have ever thought would have be presented in the same form as all these other movies. So I think that overall.
Yeah.
But I'm not downplaying their work at all. That I've said it many times in the last few shows. That the effects in Minus One are stupendous. They are on par with any Hollywood movie.
Yeah, for the budget and the number of the people that they had. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it is late. Is there any last words you want to say, Jessica, before we wrap this up?
Congratulations to the entire team for Godzilla Minus One, and also to Toho and all the people that were like the predecessors that were able to keep the franchise alive. You know, I wish I saw that Sonoe Nakajima-san wrote something, but I really wish her father, you know, the four great ones, right, of the original, like Honda, you know, all of, I wish they were able to see what they started with and how it's going now.
Yeah.
I think they would be very proud. They would be very proud.
I think so, too. I think so, too. Absolutely 100%. Yeah. I mean, we're 70 years in, so a lot, unfortunately, a lot of people involved in those early movies have moved on to Valhalla, if you will. So, but this keeps it alive, and it's the fact that a Japanese Godzilla movie over like an American big budget one. That's the fact that one, that is the punctuation mark on this beautiful night. So, yes, a good night for film lovers. And in 3 weeks, Jessica, 3 more weeks, we have another
Yes.
Godzilla movie coming out that, in as much as Minus One is now an Oscar film, and people are like, well, yeah, it's a great serious Godzilla movie. I am ready to turn around and watch visually what a 9-year-old would do with a $200 million budget, because that is also the Godzilla movie I want to see. Every little snippet I see of Godzilla and Kong, just I am like, I can't wait for this. There was a moment in a TV spot I posted on our social media. It's that when Kong comes out of the ground and he's like moving around, Godzilla sees him and just tackles him over the pyramids of Giza, and I'm like, the screen will not take my money. It
Oh,
just
that was
take it
not the
all.
that was not the shot of, I thought you meant the part where he starts to ride him, like stand on top of his back, almost like a like an X-Men 97 when you saw Gambit stand on the back of
Yes,
Wolverine.
yes, oh
I
yes,
just
that's exactly what came to my head too. By the way, it's like that's Gambit on top of Wolverine. Oh, just oh, like I just turned 40 like 2 weeks ago, and already into my 40th year on this earth, the things that I love are bombarding me like a meteor hitting, Jupiter. Like I'm just getting splattered left and right, but I can take it because I love it all. There's a new Godzilla movie. There's a new Ghostbusters movie. The week before a
Yes.
Godzilla movie. I am ecstatic. I am over the moon. I got a new, like, Jessica knows me. She knows my weird, obscene fascination with tornadoes and my undying love for the cinema classic that is Twister.
Oh,
There's a
that I
sequel to
think
Twister
named the
coming out.
new movie. Twinsters? I mean, that's what I called
Yes.
it,
Yes. But even that, I'm like, you know what? Damn it. You guys look like you did it. There's a new Planet of the Apes movie. This year is full of wonderful things. Like, I'm excited to be going to the movies again. So, this is a great start to 2024, even though we are like 3 months in already. But March is when the year really starts. I feel settles in. So, we're settled in. We live in the best timeline, not the darkest timeline. Godzilla is an Academy Award winner. I never thought I'd say those words in my entire life, but what a joyous day. And on that note, we are going to wrap up this special edition of the Kaiju Kingdom podcast. I don't even think I'm going to number this one because we're only about 30 minutes in. I have a full episode coming later this week, if you're listening to this, where our special guest is Lenny Romero, where we talk about the 25th anniversary of Gamera 3. So you can hear Lenny and I wax on about the time we went to G Fest and saw Gamera at the Egyptian, and us just pretty much just singing the praises of arguably the best, giant monster movie ever made. But I will say that Minus One is nipping at its heels. So I think just give it another year or two. On that note, Jessica, where can good people find more of us?
You can find us almost anywhere podcasts can be downloaded and listened to. We are on the kaijukingdompodcast.com. We are also on Facebook, social media. I was going to say like Twitter, everything, but definitely our Facebook is Chris keeps our social media alive. And also we are on YouTube for those who are watching us live or hearing us talking about. If you are watching this, that means we are on YouTube. Please
Yes.
subscribe to us and click like, and you have to notify the little bell button or else you won't know when new episodes go up on YouTube. So
Yes,
please do
and
that and thank you.
yes, we got a lot of stuff coming. I know I keep saying it, but like in the past few weeks, I've gotten a lot of stuff up. I am working my way through the
Yes.
archives. So the archives are getting up. So yes, a lot of fun stuff coming this year to our YouTube channel. So just stay tuned. And on that note, that will do it for this special edition of the Kaiju Kingdom podcast, the Hooray for Hollywood edition. for myself and
Jessica.
Thanks for listening, guys. Thanks for watching. And we'll see you next time.